28 years ago, my first church service after getting saved was Easter Sunday. And there was something about it, and honestly, for me, my salvation prayer was, if I live through tonight, I'll serve, which I had no idea what that meant. And until, I guess we went to Bryansville that Sunday morning for the first time. It was an early morning service. And the Lord, I don't even know why I was excited. I really didn't understand anything. I just knew I was about ready to die and I was alive. And since then, Easter for me has been special. There's something about the resurrection of Christ that brings a joy in my life. The problem is He's risen. And I don't need to, as you were praying, to celebrate Easter one day a year. Keep going.
That was an amen right there,
So the question is, how do I go from experiencing the joy for something about the day that you wake up, this is your little word, excited and thankful for the resurrection, that the Lord wants to do that in our lives each and every moment, all day long. And so how do we get there? And guess what? I don't know. No. I mean, moment by faith we enter in, correct? And so, I want to just, let's just read the four different gospel accounts. I'm not going to try to say, well, which one's right, because they get confusing. I'm not, some people say some person got there first, and this person, and all this, and so let's look at it, so you can be as confused as I was getting ready for a bed. We'll start with Matthew, which is in Matthew 28. We'll read Matthew 28, and then you're just basically going to flip to the back of each gospel after that. And we're just going to read. I just want to, now, when I talk about the resurrection, we're not dealing with the cross. We're talking about the resurrection today. Jesus died 3 days ago. 2,000 years ago. So we're not coming to the cross. We're coming to an empty tomb. Okay, so as we look and consider, I'm not discounting that our sins have been forgiven and He has died for our sins on the cross. But He's risen to new life. He's no longer dead. He's no longer in the tomb. So let's read about that fun morning. Matthew 28, verse 1. We're going to read verses 1 to 8. It says, Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door. And suddenly, his countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. For he is not here." I think that should have an exclamation point. "For he is risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to bring his disciples word. Turn to Mark 16. You'll see little bits of added information in as we go. Verse 1. Now when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene Mary's mother, James, Salome, bought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said amongst themselves, "Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?" But when they looked up, they saw the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go and tell his disciples, Peter, that he is going before you to Galilee. Into Galilee, there you will see him, as he has said to you." So they went quickly and fled from the tomb, and they trembled and were amazed. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Luke. Any, see the little differences in there? I'm only doing this because I didn't know which one to read from this morning. Chapter 24. I think all of them say the same thing as the first day of the week. Verse 1 says, "Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, there they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? That's right, he is not here. He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them, who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen clothes lying by themselves, and departed, marveling to himself at what had happened." John. Chapter 20. "Now the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter, said to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said to them, 'They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him.' Peter therefore went out, and the other disciples, and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together. The other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, and saw the linen clothes lying there, and yet did not get them. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. And he saw the linen clothes lying there and the handkerchief that was been around his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also and saw and believed, for he had yet not known the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. And the disciples went again to their own homes." Verse 11. "But Mary stood outside the tomb weeping. She wept and stooped down and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting on the head of the other at the feet where the body of Jesus lay. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said, "Because they have taken my Lord. I do not know where they have laid him." Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabbi," which is to say, "teacher." Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and he had spoken these things to her. Can you wrap all that together and make it one statement?
Glory.
Well, you have different people. You have two people 1 minute. You have three. You have Joanna, Mary, Salome, and however you pronounce it. And you see different things happen. I'm not going to really worry about that. What I really want to talk about is I think there's lessons in there that we learn from the different interactions, and it's going to be sporadic here, to get to the point where maybe with what they were looking at and their hopes and their thoughts as they came were a little misguided, and that they needed to see Jesus. But in every account we see that they were seeking Jesus, even though in their thought process they were wrong. Wow. Let's pray real quick. Father, we do thank you that we can rest in you. Lord, that we even know that the work is finished, it's complete. Lord, we ask that you would just continue to complete that work within us, that we might see Jesus more clearly day by day as we walk with you. And then as we go, we would have a message because we saw Jesus. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So resurrection. I don't like to say Happy Easter because that's how the world celebrates today. Jesus Christ is risen. It's something to be worth celebrating. And you are different. We are not of the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. And so one of the things is to start looking at each day differently. Each day we get to celebrate a resurrected Lord. A living Jesus. A conquering King. But it seems like many days we're just walking around defeated, beat up, and just... We know he died. Right?
It almost seems like they all came looking, they came looking for a dead God. And I think many Christians live as if God is dead.
What did they... There were a couple things that they came to the tomb. We get a little glimpses of. What were they doing? What was their original intention of the ladies when they went to the tomb? They went to minister and serve Jesus. Right? I'm sure you guys know after 3 days a corpse doesn't smell freshly cleaned and bathed. So they thought, but their heart's intent is that they were going to go minister to Jesus and bring spices to... And I think a lot of times in our day-to-day life that we think that we need to bring in spices and all to make Jesus smell better to the world. That we need to fix him up and serve Jesus and set him in a place so that it's not offensive. And I think that that's an area that we get wrong a lot of times. What was another issue that was going on as they were going? What were they thinking?
I don't know what they were thinking because they thought
helps us to feel.
So that's what they were thinking. I'm going to go minister to Jesus, but I have no way to get there.
Yeah.
Who's going to move the tomb for me? Or the stone? I'm sorry? They went by faith.
Mm-hmm.
Not understanding. Even understanding the things they didn't understand was wrong. I mean, what they thought they understood was wrong. They thought they were going to minister to a dead Jesus without any way to get there. But by faith, they stepped out. And I think that that's our first encouragement and an opportunity as we walk. We don't get it. We don't have it all. We might even think we're going to minister to Him and serve and do things for Jesus. And guess what? Many times we all still think there's something in the way that we can't do. That there's a hindrance between us and God. But yet we still do by faith. And when we get it, we find out that He's done the work. Right? The stone was already gone, even though they were so worried. Sound familiar? Is there anything you're worried about that the Lord's already taken care of? It's empty. I bet it. Yeah. The tomb is empty. And I do believe that many times we're still thinking we're following a buried Jesus. Because I think He's buried in our hearts. And He wants to rise and come alive. And breathe life into our mortal bodies. What does it mean? What does resurrection mean? There's a Christian term out there. We celebrate Resurrection Day. What does it mean to be resurrected?
Brought back from the dead.
Okay. Anything else?
You know, you get a feeling of you're new when you're
resurrected. Okay. You got newness of life. Restored.
Born again.
Born again. What does it mean to be, what is that resurrected life? The definition is the standing up again. A moral recovery of spiritual truth. Raised to life again. It's a standing up. Again. Guess what? Every time you stand up again, every time you wake up in the morning, you're resurrected to new life. Because He's raised you to stand again and walk with Him each day. It's not just one Sunday, it's a daily rising in the morning, enjoying the Lord in that life that you have. Would you say, I'm born again? Okay, I rise in the morning. Guess what? How do I change from going to a dead, empty tomb to experiencing life? I need to remember what it is to be resurrected. I'm born again. Thank you. I have new life. Look, I'm standing. It's a miracle. He holds my very breath in His hand. Right? These are the truths that we know about our Lord. That every breath that you have is a miracle from God. And it's a grace that He's given you to enjoy a resurrected life. To stand up and be alive. Do you feel alive today? Or do you feel like the empty tomb that He's ministered to? Or a little bit? I find that I'm needing ministered to. The world gets to you, it tears you down, tells you what you should think. Look, the ground shook. And the soldiers were scared. The ladies continued. You see, when the ground is shaking around you and the Lord is doing a work around you, and you see people scared, we by faith, even though we don't understand, and we might even be wrong, we continue to come. By faith. 1 Corinthians 15:12 says, Now Christ is priest, the raised from the dead, how do some among you say there is no resurrection from the dead? But if there is no resurrection from the dead, and Christ is not risen, if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and our faith is also empty. Do you understand that? If he didn't raise, or if he wasn't, if he's not risen, we're wasting our time. Yes, and if we found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, in fact, the dead do not rise. Tongue twister. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. If Christ is not risen, your faith is few. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we of all men are the most pitiful. Thank God we don't serve a dead God. But the mindset, if Christ is not risen, what does it say? Your faith is empty. Look, if we really truly believe in our hearts that he's risen, it's going to increase our faith. If you believe that the Lord has raised you up today and stood you on your feet, there's peace and joy. But if it's not true, if our faith isn't matching the truth and reality of it, we're not going to enter in and enjoy it. I have to believe that he is risen. So the ladies are going and they're on their way and they're worried about many things and like basic common sense things, like how do we roll the stone? That's a big stone. Guys, and when they got there, guess what? It was already done. Anybody in here worry all day long about something when you get there and find out whatever was going to be already happened? The Lord has removed the barrier. Why did he remove the barrier? Why do you think Jesus removed this thing? Would everything be true without the stone removed and no one ever saw him again? Could he have gone right from the grave to heaven and no one would it have changed anything about the gospel? No. Why is the stone removed? So you can have entrance. So you can see. Stop emptying, or stop worshiping what's empty and start looking for the one who's living. That you might enjoy your life. And the first things that Mary and them heard, remember, they were in fear. They had an earthquake right in front of them. They didn't know how this was going to work. And the first thing said to them is, do not be afraid. You know, we're told that perfect love casts out all fear. And so as we understand that we can walk in this newness of life without fear, not understanding maybe everything and not walking in the reality, even if being wrong in something, but we're seeking Jesus, the sin is removed. Come and see. Did anybody else know, well, at crucifixion, what else was removed that day? What other barrier was removed from everybody, for everybody? Only
the veil.
The veil.
Torn from heaven to earth.
Top to bottom. Torn. Why? Because they could only enter in once a year before. And only one person. But now it's open to all. It wasn't ripped from the bottom from man saying, I can do this. It's just saying, God, from the top down, I'm going to tear this away. I'm going to rent it in two. I'm opening up a way. The veil has been torn. And now we don't go into an empty tomb. We have an opportunity to go into a throne room where he is seated at the right hand of the Father. That we can come boldly to that throne of grace. That we might obtain mercy and grace in time of need. Which is when? Always. The tomb is empty, the throne is full. In the same opportunity that the stones that were removed, those big items that we can't do anything about. Look, we couldn't save ourselves. We couldn't live the life we needed. Jesus took care of that so that we could have life and more abundantly. And we have that life as we enter into His throne and then obtain that grace and mercy. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Our life is found in what's hidden in Him, right? So we come to Him to enjoy that resurrected life. But see, one of the things, if today we need to understand, if you stand up, like I said before, you're walking in that, first of all, the resurrection life starts when you accept Christ into your life and allow Him to come. The old man. See, that's the issue. Your old man is dead. Right? I mean, that's what the Scriptures are teaching us. And I think it's important. It's in Romans. Do you not know that as many as you were baptized into Christ were baptized into His death? So we're mixing a baptism in here, but we got to understand, therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. The likeness of His resurrection. There should be a likeness. Knowing this, that the old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For He who died has been freed from sin. You've been transferred, you know, when we get baptized and you go down, it's representation of the old man dying. And when you come up, it's a picture of the same thing as Christ being risen from the dead. It's an outward test. It's a testimony of what's going on inside you. That I understand that I'm a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. Okay. Now I need to learn how to look at things newly, right? If everything's new, I need to renew my mind. By the washing and the water of the Word. And so we get into the Word and we see these things so that He can tell us how to think properly. So we're not tore down by the cares of this world, the teachings of this world. If you the philosophy and empty the seat of the world, that's what Paul's about. There's a way the world thinks, and there's a way that God thinks. And we need to renew our minds so that we can come into agreement with God, which is what? When I change my mind and I agree with God, what is that? That's the definition of repentance. Every time I agree with God, I've repented for my fault, my ways. And I agree with God that I want to walk with Him. And so we need to renew and we need to continue to find who is it that I am? Who am I in Christ? Why do I need to worry about a stone in my way? It's been taken out of the way. And the one thing that was verses in my heart, Ezekiel 36:26, and it says, I will give you a new heart, put a new spirit within you. I will take away the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. You see, the stone that was removed in front of the tomb, there's a stone removed from your heart. Man can't remove that stone. It's a stone that God has to remove. And why does He do it? So that you can come in and see Him. He's given you a heart of flesh that you can see and walk in and know and experience the risen Lord. Romans 8:11 says, but if the Spirit of Him raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. It says, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in your mortal bodies. And the sin has been removed. Look, I'm teaching an area that I want to get to. I'm trying to share what the scriptures say that we can all agree and try to get there. I'm not saying I'm there. I wake up and mom lives with me. She knows that I'm keeping
it. Sin saved by grace.
I'm a child loved by a king.
Give
up. No, you were a sinner. Now you're a son. Because God doesn't see your sin anymore. They said, this is my son. Well done, good and faithful servant. I think we need to start seeing ourselves as sons and daughters of God rather than sinners saved by grace. Yes, that should make me thankful to take me to the next place where I see Jesus. Or I want to seek Him. This is just the beginning part. If I continue to live a life based on looking at my sins, I'm not looking to Jesus. These women, mistaken in fear, were seeking Jesus. We have the testimony of angels that said these women were seeking Jesus. And it's important to realize that was enough. That was enough for them to bring them to a place where they could see Jesus. If they never went because they were all their fears and concerns, guess what they wouldn't have? They wouldn't have gotten to see the same road away. They wouldn't have gotten to see soldiers shaking. There's so many things we don't get to see as we enter in by faith and walk with the Lord and enjoy that risen life. It's not a perfect life. But it's a life with Him. That's hidden in Christ. And so, as we get to the point in trying to move from once a year worship or that extra excitement, but to try to get that point in our lives every day. Every moment. Like, I feel, does the scripture say that when we take our last breath here, what does it say that we're doing, technically, as a believer? Sleeping. Right? Each one of us right now was once dead. Right? You've already died. You're alive again for God forevermore. So if I lay down and I go to sleep, I'll just sleep. Right? But the cool thing about it is if you blow it and have blown it all morning long, or you blew it all last night and you're like, yes, I want that joy. I want to experience the Lord and I want to have faith and I want to enjoy it. And I just want people to see Jesus because I know how good He is. And you blew it. Guess what? He woke back up. He resurrected again. You raised a new life to start the trial again today. Because you've already succeeded. You're not a failure if you've accepted what He's done for you at the cross. Well done. Lamentations 3:21-26 says, this I recall to mind. And sometimes we have to bring to remembrance the things we know. Therefore I have hope. See, the Lord stirred the author of Lamentations. It says that I recall to mind. Because I recall to mind, it brings about hope. So we need to remember the things the Lord is doing, has done, so we can have hope as we continue to seek Him and know that He wants to continue to do and live and move and have His being. Look, did the Lord lay out everything to save you individually? Yeah. Does He want us to continue to do that for the Lord? And if He's done everything it takes to remove it, so you cannot, there's any hindrance in the way, He's removed the stumbling blocks, He's removed the stone. And He's even given us a gift of faith that we need to exercise. The Lamentations, so that I recall to mind, therefore I have hope. through the Lord's mercies, we're not consumed because His compassion fails not. We're all here today because we have a God of compassion and they do not fail. Through the Lord's mercies we're not because His compassions fail not. And listen. What's the deadline of the next verse for next part of verse right after that? Yeah. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore I hope in Him. You see, every morning, when your eyes open up, and you stand up again, His mercies and His compassion are there for you today to seek Him. He is your portion. Not to seek to get through a trial, not to get to the end of it. He is your portion. And so He's removed the sentence that you can grab hold of Him and that He can continue to live His life in you and reveal Himself to you so that then He can turn around and serve, show Himself to the world around you, through you. But it's Him. Everybody understand that? No. So we just keep coming. I don't understand it, but He wants to do it. And that's where we got to be. And we come by faith, and He's pleased. Guys, you don't have to have all the right answers. And you don't even... You can be walking in fear. And the Lord loves you, and His mercies are new every morning. And His compassion does not fail. And every day when you rise up, if you say, thank you, Lord, for life. I have an opportunity to live this resurrected life with you. I'm not... Guess what? He didn't even ask me to do it on my own. Because we can't. He said, I'm going to give you my spirit. The spirit who raised me up and dead enabled me to live the resurrected life with the same spirit within each and every one of you today. And wants to allow you to walk in that newness of life and enjoy fellowship with Him and enjoy why you were created. To have rest. It was after the rest came an empty tomb. So it was sad. And it says, the Lord is. You guys need to... The Lord is good. Do you believe it? When He said that the throne of graces, they are available for you. And we're told here that the Lord is good. And then when the Lord says, come, I'm inviting you in. Do you think He's joking? And let me ask you this question. If the Lord is at the throne room and He's invited you in, is He there? Or do you think He invited you to come someplace He's not going to show up? See, sometimes I think, oh man, I spent time, well, I wanted to spend time with the Lord, but He wasn't there. I can't find Him. He's there. And you need to get back to the things you already know, and you see that I'm standing. The only reason why I have breath in my legs is because the Lord's holding me together because He loves me. Let your life start there in the things you do know, in the things you do understand, and allow that resurrected life to breathe and bring forth more life so that as you see Jesus, what happened with Mary? Whatever Mary and everybody else. After she said, what did Jesus say? I'm going to Galilee, go tell my disciples. You see, a vision of the Lord and sir gave her a word that she already saw and heard to go and tell. You see, the Lord did that work within her first. And then He wanted to do the work for her. And they still didn't believe her. Said Peter, they didn't believe her. I mean, one thing that they didn't listen, ladies, guys. Ladies always blame us for not listening. It wasn't that. They didn't believe her. So they got up and ran and looked. Sometimes the world will not believe what the Lord is revealing to you and showing you. But guess what? Their curiosity is going to make them run and look. and they'll have even competitions. We saw John, the first one got there, didn't get away with all that. But the Lord is inviting us all. He's opened up. He's taken every opportunity, everything we need, and removed it so that we can enjoy the life that He's created us for. And when we get down and we get frustrated with this world, we need to come back and say, Lord, You need to renew my mind and bring me back to the place to remember that I'm alive in You. I'm no longer that dead man. You're not going to die. If you're in Christ, you will not die. Might not wake back up. You might be asleep. At least what it looks like here on this earth. But then the verse and the end on the annotation on every year. The Lord is good, I started that. To those who wait for Him. To the soul that seeks Him. What did it say about Mary? We know you seek Him. To the Lord's good. So even in our misunderstandings, the Lord blesses us because we set out and walk by faith. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. And so it comes back to His compassions don't fail. And see, we got to start getting a bigger picture of who He is so that we understand how He's working with us and dealing with us. And He knows we're sinners, but He sees us as sons. And He wants us to get to the point where we stop thinking like a sinner and see yourself as a child of God. One who has the kingdom of God within them that's wanting it to pray to work out in this life here now. I'm not saying to go to heaven. We're going to get there. That's a byproduct. I'm only getting to go to heaven because Jesus is there. I'm saved because I was separated from God and had no life and no hope. He made the way that we could become one. I'm saved for a relationship that I never had with the Creator of the universe who laid down His life for me so that I can enjoy it. What's my part? Thank You, Lord. I want to walk with You. And see, as I walk by faith, knowing that the Lord is here with me, and I'm open to, Lord, this is what I think is going to happen. Show me what's... We walk in a relationship. You have plans. You have thoughts. You work together. You talk. The Lord has a decision and desire to reveal Himself to you so that you can know Him. That's what we're going to be doing for eternity in heaven. Everybody wants to go to heaven to know Jesus, but He's saying, if you see me, you'll be like me. Right? We can do that now until He comes. We can know Him more and more. We can continue to say thank You, Lord. We can continue to run to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and grace in time of need. And then we can enjoy what we were actually created for. To be complete and total, complete in Him. That your life is in. And so as the Lord has removed that stone from your life, and He's opened that opportunity for you to come and enter in, and He's tore the veil, guys, what keeps us from it is our faith. Do I really believe Jesus wants to talk to me right now? Were you ashamed and afraid and hiding and putting fig leaves on? Were you busy? These are the things. But the world gets in and creeps in. And so we have to add, Lord, what Jesus, I think it's in Isaiah, said that I didn't, that You opened my ear and You opened in the morning. You awakened my ear and I was not disobedient. You see, the Lord is going to stir in you and work in your life. And just, you might just say a quiet name or just take that time. Enter in. Look, in the mornings when you get up, don't worry about getting everything right and go and minister to Jesus. Go and see Jesus in the throne room and let Him minister to you. By bringing up everything He's done for you already. I have life. I have it more abundantly. That's true. Help me to believe it. Help me to walk in it. What does that even mean? so that he can touch the world around us. Any thoughts? I don't even know where I am, so I'm good. I'm good, I'm done. Any thoughts?
Yeah.
Like a new communion? Yes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
I'm going to hand it out and take it together. It's going to be a little tricky, so we'll see how it goes. Everything's tricky.